there's just so many different newfangled platforms that are popping up everywhere that gives everyone the opportunity to do the, you know, the artistic design piece of STEAM.
And Samantha Fox's deep understanding and knowledge about how to use digital education to help kids understand about their world, that's really making a huge difference. Today, we're going to hear from an ISTE emerging leader, PBS digital innovator, and the host of the VR podcast to talk about everything about digital education and more.
You're listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. For hundreds of ideas, free experiments and more, go to physicseducation.com.au. And now, here's your host, Ben Newsom.
Yes, welcome again to another Physics Ed Podcast. Glad to have you on board. This week we are speaking with Amanda Fox, as I said in the intro, an incredibly highly vibrant innovator in digital education, very much so. She used to work at the STEM Academy and actually has a background in English language arts, social studies, film and journalism, which is very much an interesting mix when it comes to STEAM education. And her work involves a lot of education with primary students, middle school students, and the secondary students as well, in all sorts of things. And she's very much doing virtual reality, stop motion animation, augmented reality, video game design, robotics, app design, 3D printing, you name it. Amanda Fox has been doing it, and she's very much helping with the professional learning space and helping kids with after-school STEAM programs as well. So, with all that in mind, no matter where you happen to be, whether you're in a classroom, whether you're in a museum, zoo, aquarium, wherever it is, if you're working with learners, this episode is very handy if you want to incorporate some digital technology. So, without further ado, let's listen on to Amanda and hear what she's been doing.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast.
Amanda, thanks for jumping on the Physics Ed Podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. My pleasure.
No, I'm really, really stoked to have you here. It's 6 p.m. where you are. It's currently 8 a.m. where I am. Hey, Amanda, can you just let everyone know whereabouts you actually are?
Yeah, so I am located in Louisville, Kentucky, in the United States, and I am currently the creative director of Steampunks EDU.
Got it. And now there's a lot of people, especially across North America, who would know what Steampunks EDU actually gets up to. But I mean, we've got quite a few people down here in Australia who do a lot of STEM stuff, but may not have run into you. So what's Steampunks EDU all about?
Steampunks is essentially a program that I designed that focuses on integrating and experimenting with cutting edge technology, hence our tagline, Education with Edge. And we try to stay cutting edge, not only with the tech we use, but also the classes we're offering and making sure they kind of connect back to a STEAM or a STEM career field for students.
Yeah.
So
yeah, straight up tech and everything in between kind of education.
So we have classes like augmented reality, video game design, 3D design and modeling, 3D printing, coding, robotics. And my personal favorite, the virtual reality class.
Oh, geez, so, that's getting bigger and bigger, isn't it?
Yeah. So as you know, I'm also a co-host with Stephen Sotto, James McCrary, and Alex Chaucer on the virtual reality podcast. So it's kind of my thing, and I enjoy VR very much.
So what got you into tech and education? Like, where does this all come from? Like, what sort of sparked your curiosity?
Well, tech has always made my nerd flag fly like extremely high. So technology integration and education has always just been something that I've loved. I got my start in STEM education at the STEM Academy in Savannah, Georgia in 2013. And at STEM, I kind of helped shape our school-wide story-centered curriculum. We had it themed around like outer space travel. There's a fictional planet Nevermore, and it allowed students to kind of think outside of normal constraints. And we delivered this trilogy. And one of the things that we did with technology is it was always like a vehicle to deliver content, and it was integrated seamlessly. The focus wasn't on the tech, it was what we were doing with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what ages were the audience, the kids themselves? Like, how old were you dealing with at this time?
This time, 6th, 7th, and 8th. So right now, my program, Steampunks in Kentucky, focuses on K through 8. So,
Got it. And so, I mean, like with all sort of tech sort of stuff, I mean, which versions, where it's augmented reality, virtual reality, and all the other bits and pieces, what's grabbing kids' attention the most?
I would say right now, virtual reality and I maybe I'm a little biased, but it's like delivering magic to kids, the seeing them put a headset on for the first time and walking in a world that they have built. It's just mind-boggling for them. I would actually say any of the courses that we teach where kids are creating stuff, I would say that final product, like when they build something or they code something or design some sort of solution, that's what they love. They like to be hands-on and involved.
So what's your sort of, like, I mean, it's, if you had to throw together a quick lesson, just say you had to do something this afternoon, tomorrow afternoon for an after school science program or a STEM program, what would you throw together for grade 8 and they're just sort of starting? Like, how would you start kids getting into this environment if it's their very first day and they really haven't done much to do with it prior?
With STEM or with
let's go on the virtual reality side. Okay. How would you get the kids getting into it if they don't know what to do with this environment and how to, what would you do?
This is a great question because I actually did this last week. Last week I was in Dallas and I taught a group of sixth graders and I used VR. I carried a couple of Oculus Go's, a Samsung Gear, and some Merge headsets with some phones in it. And I introduced, I posed that they had just been hired by a hospital. And the hospital is looking to integrate innovative training programs. And they were tasked with coming up with some sort of app that would solve a problem, whether it be a rare experience or something impossible, like operating on a cadaver. They had just done frog dissection, so I related it to that. They did a virtual dissection, and then I had them compare the two, and then we talked about what if you could do this in virtual reality. What were the benefits? What were the pros? What were the cons? So I made that career connection, embedded it in a real-life context, and then they kind of understood the power of VR because you can't cut open a frog 10 times, and if you make a mistake, it's hard to recover. So in virtual reality, it gives students the opportunity to fail gracefully and then it gives them another opportunity to retry within that specific context. But VR is so much more than just what you can do with medical training. It's just concept designs, ideations for industrial engineers and cars. It's just crazy.
My mind's just gone wide open. We just think about all the possibilities. You can imagine it, anything from training for any scenario that you can't get to yet. Anything from a deep water diving to a site through that. You could do so much, but it just comes down to creating the environment to make it as realistic as possible. How do you handle the graphic design element of that if you've got a new concept where someone hasn't built the environment yet? I mean, I imagine there's a fair bit of effort in getting the graphics together so it's realistic. How do you sort of crack that nut?
Oh, there's so many different platforms that already offer STL or OBJ files that you can import into these worlds. Or you can, like with CoSpaces, EDU, they offer kind of like a drag and drop environment that you can do. But outside of that, I mean, if we get outside of that specific platform, which is amazing and phenomenal for educators, like I don't care what grade level, any student can jump into it, drag and drop and walk through a world they built. And then it layers on the coding. But outside of that, Facebook Spaces, Tilt Brush is a program that actually allows you to go in and design your own environment. So there's just so many different newfangled platforms that are popping up everywhere that gives everyone the opportunity to do the artistic design piece of STEAM.
So. Okay. You can have some fun also too, because with gamification, there's a big movement of getting games into education itself. Because hey, if you've got to design the game, you've got to know what the rules are, and if you know the rules are, you probably know the logic and the science or STEM, whatever it is about it. Have you seen anything where kids have created games where people have to go into that environment and then perform whatever the tasks are of the game? I'm just wondering if you can mesh them together.
Absolutely. So last summer, right before CoSpaces, no, it was right after CoSpaces launched CoSpaces EDU, I had a summer camp and students were crime scene investigators and they had to research the career and they had designed the perfect crime scene. in VR, and they created it kind of like a mystery with multiple scenes where a person, the viewer that would go through each scene, was actually collecting evidence and interviewing witnesses. And at the end, they had to click on the right criminal, the person who was the criminal. So in a way, that was gamified. But I've seen mazes, escape rooms, breakout EDUs done. Just the possibilities are really just whatever you can imagine.
Absolutely. I mean, I love breakout EDU. That's just an awesome concept. And just being able to do that's just fantastic. Now, let's be honest. We're talking VR because it's obviously, you know, something you're right at the very heart of what you love doing. But, I mean, you do so much more. I mean, one of the things I was just looking up at foxwrite.com, checking out what you get up to, and Flybricks, this Lego drones. I must admit, I've never come across it. So this is not like a, hey, I prepared. I genuinely don't know what's going on with this. So I actually want to know myself 100%. What's that all about?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so Flybricks are drones. They're like they're Lego drones, essentially. So you have to, so I taught a class where students worked in groups of three. You had a master builder, a black box, which was the documentarian, and then a pilot who actually flew the drone. But they did a design challenge. They had to build a quadcopter, and they had to have it balanced. They had to analyze, you know, it's balanced for aerodynamics, and then we did this, we added a competition layer to it, and working together and collaborating, they also had to be the first team to get their drone off the ground. And it was fantastic. You can do hot potato drone builds where one student puts something on and you pass it around.
You can totally mess people up doing that. You can throw it totally off balance, go, right, kiddo, work it out.
Yeah, but that relates directly to problem solving. So then they go back if they've had a failed flight, and you know, you bring the Wright brothers into that, and you talk about how if you're not successful your first time, you take pieces apart, you rebuild, you rebalance, and you try again.
Absolutely. I mean, actually, having a background story and weaving a bit of history, and you know, the A that happens to be in part of STEAM as well is just as important. And I mean, I imagine a lot of that comes, especially when you're doing the work around stop motion animation, that type of thing too, yeah? It's all about the story. Oh,
yes. So stop motion animation and film are close to my heart. I taught film and digital media at the STEM Academy for 3 years. So I am all about the A.
Yeah. So. No, it's cool. I mean, I guess I kind of wonder, I mean, where are you hearing the demands from parents themselves for their kids when it comes to tech and education? Because, I mean, I know it's a sort of a, you know, technology, there's a lot of different things that are underneath that particular title. I mean, what are the parents themselves seeming to want for their kids to prepare them for their future?
So actually I just had a parent text me about summer camps, and I'm teaching a social media rock star class. And part of it is they're going to design their own YouTube channel, their YouTube video intros, and podcasts, actually. And our social media sensation is what it is. And that parent specifically was like, this is what my kid wants to do. Will he be able to do that? And I'm like, absolutely. The first day of class is I'm going to find out where everyone's heart lies and like where their passion is, and have them create videos on that. So there's a big push for students to be able to navigate the internet, to be able to communicate their ideas and publish artifacts that are strong representations of what they're trying to showcase in terms of their learning. And while I would say screen time is always an issue that comes up, I think if students are spending their time on the screens creating instead of consuming, I don't care how many hours a day they're doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the I mean, there's a massive push through the schools themselves to get right up to speed with all this tech that's coming, you know, straight down the pipeline. I mean, which means that means there's a lot of work on the professional learning space as well, which I know you do a lot of work on. So what sort of things do you do with the teachers?
Oh, absolutely. So with teachers, I do a lot of training on problem-based learning, STEM integration, maker spaces. I've done flipped classroom. I have a YouTube video with like 144 videos. A lot of them are either social studies based or flipped lectures on animation, copyright, and film. So yeah. Just, you know, teaching teachers how to make tech work for them and enhance their classroom activities, and then give more meaningful classroom time as well.
Yeah, well, that, you know, I believe you need to be meaningful in class.
Well, meaningful interactions between students, not just talking at them, but allowing students to work together, which I think is super important with especially middle school and up. I mean, elementary as well, but just having students draw on their own perspectives, I think strengthens any lesson.
Yeah, I agree. And especially when you allow kids the time and space to be able to go on tangents and just explore bits and pieces, it's definitely the case, which means undoubtedly I wouldn't be surprised if you had some strange lessons that have just sort of, I didn't expect that to go that way. I mean, what are some of the more funnier things that you've seen happen in tech and education that, you know, in your experience, like you've done this for quite a few years. I mean, it's hard to sort of pick one, but there's a particular example you can think of off the top of your head that, yeah, it was just hilarious.
Well, I wouldn't say so much with the technology. I guess there was a chemistry lab one time and students were about to measure calories of Cheetos.
Okay.
Except no one told the students what they were going to be doing, so they ate the Cheetos.
Yeah.
Sure, you got all the way around the classroom, gave the Cheetos out. I guess everyone thought it was snack time.
Yeah.
And then when they got to the front, they're like, all right, we're going to burn these and measure the calories, only to realize that there weren't any Cheetos left standing.
So, oh, no.
Like, in terms of tech, I would say I haven't had, like, any huge funny mishaps. Using Classcraft. Have you heard of Classcraft?
I have heard. I haven't played with it yet.
Well, it's a gamification platform that allows students to role play, and it's great at empowering students. And there's a random event at the beginning of each class. And somehow one of these random events ended up with me having to sing Disney songs at the top of my lungs in class. So that was quite unfortunate. It was amazing how many phones came out.
I bet. I mean, which means that you're now documented somewhere.
I'm probably viral and I'd prefer not to know about it.
Yeah, we could let that go. Oh, dear. So, I mean, you've got to do a lot of very cool things. I mean, if you have to think about like one major highlight with sort of the work that you've done up to this point, what would that be?
Well, I love traveling and seeing what education looks like everywhere. It gives me an opportunity to kind of get a global pulse and a real perspective on trends that are working, not just in the United States, but I've got the opportunity to go to Brisbane, Dubai, and Manila in the last 2 years and talk to the teachers and different educators around the world. So for me, the coolest thing about being an educator and from a professional development standpoint is to see how other teachers are integrating tech and also the obstacles that teachers in different areas of the world have to overcome, because it's very different.
Yeah. And actually you've been to Brisbane and you're coming back in October for DigiSTEM.
I'm going to be at DigiSTEM. I'm doing a keynote on VR. It's called Bridging Realities and Blending Realities, because it's about being able to use VR platforms to blend virtual and brick and mortar classrooms and bring in global experts. So
I wonder about this VR thing. I mean, where do you think the future is heading with that area? I mean, are there any developments that you know that might be on its way, potentially be applied in the classroom in years to come?
There is a really cool platform called Roomy. It's made by Doghead Simulations, and it is a virtual classroom where they actually just did a full VR conference back in February or March? March. No, maybe it was April. We're in May, almost June. It was sometime this year, but it was the first one of its kind. But this platform allows you to come in, you can play videos, you can draw, you can import 3D models, have discussions, and you import into this classroom as an avatar from either a desktop, a headset, or whatever. I think in the future, that platform, you're going to see a big boom where a lot of people start pushing for that.
That sounds really cool.
Think of mystery Skypes and VR.
Wow.
You can actually pair students off and they can go up and talk to each other.
Yeah, that's really good fun. There was a group down in a town south of Sydney, Wollongong, that did something in a way similar, but it never really took off in some ways because they had this idea of having avatars walking around a bit like Second Life. And the idea was they could literally have thousands of people, almost like a big carnival, I remember actually chatting with them going, that would be kind of cool. You could almost have presentations from almost stages, like it was, a major rock concert where kids could always flip from classroom to classroom on the whim. There's a lot you can do with this avatar thing. That's unreal.
Or let's say you have students working in WeVideo. You have maybe two classrooms doing two different world problems that are specific to that geographic location, to the two different locations, but it's maybe a shared problem. And they're showing the perspective of it from that location. And then we go into VR and we actually play the video from YouTube and we play student pieces and we have a film festival with a school or a classroom in Australia and one in the United States, sitting at the same time. Well, of course, time zones are still a problem.
It's just a little bit.
I mean, I prefer 6 p.m. much more to your 8 a.m. right now.
Yeah, I'm waiting for my caffeine to work through me. Hence the vague questions occasionally, because it's not quite there all the way. you get that. Actually, was lucky this morning because the person who was using this room before me had a connection to Canada doing some liquid nitrogen stuff, and she started at 6 a.m. So I think I got it lucky.
Oh my goodness.
But it's all part of it. You've been recognized as an ISTE emerging leader, which is fantastic, a PBS innovator. Hey, being with ISTE, I'm guessing you're coming to Chicago soon, yeah?
Oh yeah, I'll be in Chicago. I've got a VR session.
Yeah.
And the VR podcast will be there. We'll be interviewing people in immersion tech. And I'm also the Young Educator Network president, so I will be running the social Monday night. So all young educators, that means young at heart, feel free to join us. There will be more information on Twitter soon.
Absolutely. So. Well, ISTE's a big, massive party, I must think. It's crazy how many things there's going on. But, I'd recommend anyone, especially to go rock up. Because, hey, if it's a lot of people there and you can't have too much time to speak with Amanda because you'd be running around the place doing your thing, there'll be a lot of really innovative, exciting, young educational leaders. We're all in the same room and going nuts. It'd be great.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of which, I mean, there'll be people who want to get into more VR and all that type of thing in their classrooms. I mean, what sort of advice would you give to someone who is just starting out?
Be fearless. Just with reckless abandon, like approach any new thing or any new technology and don't be afraid to fail. There's a podcast, gosh, I don't remember the guy's name, but he talks about living life in beta. And that today, know that you're the best version of yourself, but tomorrow you should be a better version. And that better version comes from being a forever learner. And I feel like I learn more when I approach learning fearlessly. So just be fearless.
Yeah, I love that. Actually, it reminds me of someone who once told me, said, you know that old story about the journey of 1,000 miles? He said, why does it have to be 1,000 miles? Why not further? Or fair enough. Yeah, that's cool. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to pop on the Physio podcast just for a moment. And look, hopefully you might be able to catch up in Chicago. And if we don't meet up, hey, you're coming down to Sydney soon.
I am.
We'll say good day then.
Hmm? I also have a book coming out in October.
Oh, cool. Tell us about it.
So it's called Teaching Land, A Teacher's Survival Guide to the Classroom Apocalypse. It's being published by Dave Burgess Consulting. And it is about education through a zombie lens.
Ah,
Love so, it.
Zombies in education.
Yeah, actually, we had someone was presenting off at the Youth Eco Summit last year, and she was teaching how kids can learn about mathematics and statistics by modeling what would happen in a zombie outbreak. And,
yep.
It's cool.
We had a very similar lesson at the STEM Academy. They made PSAs, and they had to analyze virology and epidemiology and understand how things spread and, you know, patient zero outbreak points and how to inform the public. So absolutely.
You use whatever hook you can. And let's be honest, zombies grab is a great hook. It's great. I love it. We started with VR. We end up with zombies, which means I guess you're going to have to put zombies in a VR situation.
Oh, it's happening. I've already had some 3D zombie models made. So expect to see some thriller VR going on soon.
Wow. You're really just playing, aren't you?
I'm not playing, but yeah, I'm totally playing.
No, yeah, it takes a long time to play. Like, there's a lot of work involved, but we're still playing.
Yes, exactly.
Very cool. Well, thank you very much. I should let you get back to, I suppose, your dinner will be coming up soon. But enjoy your evening. And hey, we might catch you another time.
Absolutely. I hope to meet some of your listeners in person at DigiStem.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast. We're all about science, ed tech, and more. To see 100 fun, free experiments you can do with your class, go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled FIZZICS. And click 100 free experiments.
Well, there you go. That was Amanda Fox, who is truly a highly innovative educator when it comes to digital education. Very, very cool. I mean, her work isn't just about virtual reality. You could hear there is so much more to offer with Steampunk's EDU. It's very much worth your time going checking them out. So actually, if you go on to foxbright.com, you can find out all about the stuff that she's been doing in professional learning, STEAM programs, and all the rest. And I must say, I really want to check out Flybricks. That is such a cool idea with Lego drones. Unreal. Now, by the way, after that initial chat, we kept on talking a little bit further about what she's been getting up to, and she talked a bit more about her upcoming book, which is coming up in October. So maybe let's hear a little bit more about what that's all about.
So imagine if Piaget or Dewey found themselves in the shoes of Sheriff Rick Grimes of The Walking Dead, waking up amidst a zombie apocalypse, except instead of a hospital, it was a classroom. In many places, the classroom apocalypse is upon us, and we are in the battle to fend off forces that will drag down our teachers or students. So basically, it's more about surviving the policies and the obstacles that are put in front of us, testing and stuff like that. And it's really for pre-service teachers and new teachers because it focuses on classroom management strategies, pedagogy, and then cognitive scientists and tying the pedagogy back to the scientists, and then creating personalized learning through technology integration. That's and then building reach and rapport with students. So I call it a monster chart because it's huge and it's a zombie book, so a monster chart fits. But it's a huge chart of just different tech tools and how to integrate it. But the strategies are timeless.
Thanks for listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. Sign up now for our fortnightly email newsletter. It's loaded with details on new experiments you can do, STEM teaching articles, new gadgets, exclusive offers, and upcoming events. Go to physicseducation.com.au. Scroll to the bottom and add your email.
Well, there we go. We're at the end of yet another Physics Ed podcast. I hope you got a bit out of it. I certainly did, especially with all those links you're going to have to go check out on the web. So many digital tools that Amanda Fox talked about, and it's going to be a lot of fun to help enrich our lessons. I hope you're going to do the same in your classroom too. But until I get to speak with you again, I hope you have a fantastic week. You've been listening to me, Ben Newsom from Phys Education, and you've been listening to the Phys Ed podcast. I'll catch you next week.
You've been listening to another Physics Ed podcast. We're excited about science. Subscribe to us on iTunes to download the next episode as soon as it's released. And don't forget, for hundreds of ideas, free experiments, our new Be Amazing book and more, go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled FIZZICS.
This podcast is part of the Australian Educators Online Network. AEON.net.au